those unwritten kitchen rules? You know, bring your eggs to room temperature before baking. Never dunk mushrooms in water. Well, what is fact and what is fiction here? Our managing producer, Sally Swift, has turned to Tim Cibola, Cooking Light's senior food editor, and he's author of the article, Why You Dredge, Rest, Pulse, and Process.
Hey, Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sally.
Okay, so rumor has it you've been doing some sleuthing, looking at some of the whys behind all these unwritten rules that we follow in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah, we like to figure out these dilemmas for our readers.
It's a nice thing. So I want to start with a couple and have you walk me through them, if that works.
Absolutely.
The first one, a rule that my mother drilled into me over and over again about boiling potatoes, and the fact that she always said you have to start the potatoes in cold water, never drop potatoes into boiling water. Is that true?
It's true. And you wouldn't think it would require such TLC, but it does, because it's a little bit denser than a vegetable like, say, green beans, for instance. And the density means that it's going to take a little while longer for the inner temperature to match the exterior. And so if you drop it directly, say a cubed or quarter potato, directly into a pot of boiling water, what you're going to end up with is a potato that's mushy and gluey and crumbly on the outside and practically raw on the inside. So the cold water, if you start it in cold water, begins to raise its temperature gradually, giving the potato a chance to raise gradually with it, and then you're going to get a much more evenly cooked potato.
Wow, that makes complete sense. Who knew?
Yeah, right. Yeah, when you think about it, it makes sense.
And what about that rule about preheating pans in the oven before you roast vegetables? Is that really true? Is that something we need to follow?
It absolutely is, but it's something that a lot of us don't even think to do. While, oddly, we're all very aware of how important it is to preheat your pan on the stovetop before you add things in, the same principle applies here. When you preheat your pan for roasted vegetables, you're going to end up with less sticking and better browning. Hmm. And this is particularly important with tender spring and summer vegetables, where if you start them in a cold pan, it's going to take that much longer in the oven while they roast for them to cook. And you're probably going to end up with mushy vegetables that don't get much browning. But if you preheat the pan and you lightly coat your veggies in oil, the minute they hit the pan, you're going to hear that sizzle just like you should when you saute them.
Mm-hmm. So you get that sear. Does that work with proteins, too? I never think about that.
Yeah, you know, it would work with proteins. The difference, though, is that when we're roasting proteins, we often tend to brown them on the stovetop first. But if you don't brown them on the stovetop for whatever reason, it's a great idea to get your roasting pan good and hot and then put the meat inside.
Mm-hmm. It would speed things up, I would think, too.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we can all use a little extra time.
All right, I'm going to take on a sacred cow next. Onions. People have so many opinions about what the correct way is to slice an onion. Will you tell us once and for all what the difference is slicing around it, like from the equator, or slicing from pole to pole?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a polarizing topic, and people feel really strongly about it. But slicing from pole to pole or vertically is essentially to slice with the fibers, along with the fibers of the onion. So if you peel an onion, you will see that there'll be green lines that run vertically from pole to pole. And when you slice with these fibers, the onion pieces you end up with tend to hold up a little bit better as they cook.
Right. So if you want onions to hold their shape, you want to cut them pole to pole.
Exactly. And this is great for when you're long cooking onions, like in a caramelized onion, if you want the onions to be sort of separate and not mushed together in a jam. That's the way to do it. But then again, you might want them to mush together in a jam, and that's fine. And that's when you would cut them in half moons or across the equator, and then they're going to break down a little bit more.
Or, of course, dicing would do it even further, right? Then you're really wanting it to blend. That is interesting. That seems like the final word to me, I have to say.
I'm glad we could clear that up.
Wow, that's a tough one. We're going to get mail on that. I know it. What about this rule about when you are baking and you are mixing a batter and the instructions come back again and again to alternate the dry ingredients with the wet ingredients? Is there real science behind that?
There is a method to that madness. It does seem a little fussy, and it's never really fully explained in recipe methods, but it's important to follow because what it comes down to is bubbles. So when you're mixing up a cake batter, it's the bubbles, unpopped and whole, that will give you the tender, open crumb in the cake that you want. So when you're beating sugar into softened butter, or when you're beating eggs into a frothy foam, you're getting these bubbles. And so to gradually add the dry ingredients is going to keep the bubbles from popping, and that's what you want for a nice, light, airy cake.
Mm-hmm.
Dump and stir is fantastic for something that's supposed to be more dense, like a brownie or something like that. But for the light, airy cake that you want, you got to keep those bubbles intact.
Huh. Science. Let's talk about tofu. More and more people are eating it. Often you're told to press it to get some of the water out. Does that really do anything?
It sure does. Oftentimes, a lot of the tofu you're going to get, the firm and extra firm, comes packed in water. And so you press it with, say, you know, between paper towels, and press it with like a heavy scoot or something for about 20 minutes to get the water out, because water, as we know, is the enemy of brown and crisp food. Mm-hmm. And if you want to saute these tofu cubes or tofu planks or however you slice them, and get a nice golden crust on them, you've got to get that water out of there, or else they're just going to steam in the pan.
Mm-hmm. Tofu kind of needs it, you know?
It does, it does.
Thanks, Tim.
Sure. Thank you, Sally.
Tim Cibola is Cooking Light's senior food editor. Sally Swift is our managing producer. The article, Why You Dredge, Rest, Pulse, and Process, can be found in the June 2014 issue of Cooking Light.